الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليصل رحمه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Ulama Kiram, most respected elders and brothers, and our mothers and sisters who may be listening over streaming, we are extremely fortunate to be believers, and not only believers, to be part and parcel of the greatest of all nations, the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that pure soul who sacrificed his life, sacrificed his blood, sacrificed every breath of his life in uplifting humanity, in connecting humanity with their Creator. And if we look at the eventual outcome of the efforts of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I will quote our late Maulana Patel Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. He mentions that such was the environment in Madinatul Munawwara that, for argument's sake, if there were 100 people living in Madina Sharif and one individual was going through some hardship, some trials, some tribulation, some difficulty, some sickness, then there would be 99 people to support that one person to trial, to tribulation. And on the contrary, if there was one person out of those 100 people that was going through a moment of happiness, celebration, the birth of a new child, marriage in the family, then subhanallah, there were 99 people to share in their happiness. They too were excited, they too were happy. Of course, this was the miraculous nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the divine help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Nabi of Allah came to such a nation. What was the condition of that nation? It was known as Al-Ayyamul Jahiliyyah, the period of ignorance, where there was nothing but oppression, suppression, aggression. But yet the Nabi of Allah, with the divine help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a transformation to a community, that this eventually was the outcome. Of course, Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majeed, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. We have the recipe with us. The life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is indeed, it is a role model for us. It is for us to implement it within our lives. Hence we find the Deen of Islam places great emphasis on creating an environment of harmony, an environment of unity, an environment of support for one another. And we hear this very often, that the Muslim community is divided, the Muslim Ummah is fragmented. So that is on a macro level. But sometimes the solution lies in the micro level. Sometimes we need to start right within our own little homes. Again, Maulana Yunus Rahmatullah used to say that we want to change the entire world. But sometimes we need to start in this little body of ourselves. Start the transformation and change within. And then inshallah, eventually each person makes that intention, that becomes a little family. And that family is part of a larger community. And that community is part of the larger and the greater ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to start somewhere. And for this we find, again we go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he entered Madinatul Munawwara. It is narrated by Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu. In fact, when I was doing a little bit of reading, and then I said it is appropriate since this is Masjidus Salam. So Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, a little bit of history for us to appreciate who he was. He was from Innahu min Durriyati Yusuf. He was from the progeny of Yusuf alayhi salam. And he was a Jewish person from the tribe of Banu Qaynuqa. And he said that when the Nabi of Allah entered Madinatul Munawwara and I saw him, araftu annahu laysa biwajhin kaddabin. He said that when I looked at the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I realized that it is impossible that this individual will speak any lie. And then he said that the first words that I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that afshu salam wa at'imu at'am wa silu al-arham wa sallu bil-layli wa an-nasu niyam tadkhulu al-jannata bi salam. And again the word salam was used here. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Madinatul Munawwara and he was encouraging the people of Medina. That eventually became that ideal society. He said, afshu salam. Spread salam amongst yourselves. Make salam common amongst yourselves. In other riwayat, of course it's not a discussion on salam, but just to add to value to that. The Nabi Sassam said, make salam to the Muslim you recognize and even the one you don't recognize. Make salam a common practice. In another riwayat, awala adullukum ala shay'in idha fa'altumuhu tahababtum. Shall I not show you something that if it becomes a common practice amongst yourself, it will engender and it will create love between yourselves. Spread salam, make salam a common practice. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, afshu salam. And then he said, wa at'imu at'am. And learn to feed others. Make feeding a habit of yours. And then related to our talk, wasilu al-arham. Join and maintain family relations. And then he said, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ. Perform salah in the latter parts of the night when people are sleeping. You will enter Jannah with ease, with peace. Of course, Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu then became a great sahabi. As the Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu said, I heard from the very lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, كَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. That Abdullah ibn Salam is from the people of Jannah. So nevertheless, what beautiful advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to practice and implement these qualities again to create unity, to create harmony within our society. And this, respected elders and brothers, this we find was the deep-hearted pain of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to create love, to create unity, to foster a sense of consideration for one another. Now, in today's times, you know, we sometimes need to understand the benefit of something. What is the benefit of me opening a shop in a certain place? Your profit margins will be so much. There's the number of feet that you'll, you know, get into your shop. So now when the person knows the benefits and understands the feasibility, it prompts him, it's an incentive for him to now get involved in that particular and invest in that particular property. So the question is, how will we benefit by maintaining family relationship? First of all, we understand that it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the verses that we've recited, Allah ta'ala mentions that وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear the maintenance and the relations and the family relations amongst one another. This is something we should be extremely concerned about. So let's speak about the benefits. How will it benefit us if we implement and if we maintain family relationships? Number one, respected elders and brothers, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will be pleased. Allah has praised in so many verses of the Quran and Majid. Time will not allow us to elaborate every single verse. Allah ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلُ. Allah speaks about who is ulul albab, who are the intelligent ones, and who are the ones who will earn and become inheritors of paradise. Amongst the various qualities that Allah has listed and tabulated is the quality of those individuals that maintain their family relations and family ties. So Allah will be pleased with one. And on this I again quote as Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He was in Mauritius and there was a youngster that came to him. And he said, Maulana, you know, I'm feeling very, very disappointed, very sad that, you know, I do a lot for my parents. You know, I'm at their beck and call. I'm doing everything for them. But I've got a brother that lives away. If he comes once in 2 weeks, that too is, it's too much. But despite that, he is the blue-eyed. He gets all the praises. So Maulana Rahmatullah Ali mentioned to him, he said, I want you to engrave in your heart. Engrave this in your heart. Okay, do for Allah's pleasure, Allah will grant you from His treasure. His pleasure, Allah will grant you from His treasure. And then Maulana went on to elaborate to him, hey brother, do not expect now your parents every day you do something, they must stand up and give a vote of thanks. They're not going to do that. And sometimes it's better that, you know, for your own islah and for one's own, so that pride doesn't get to their head, they don't get any acknowledgement. But if you're doing it now for that acknowledgement, let's say I'm giving this to my uncle, I'm giving this to my aunt, she didn't even say jazakallah. She didn't even thank me. So I'm not going to give her any more. So that's an indication that the person did that action for the jazakallah or for that acknowledgement. But if we did it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether the person said jazakallah or said, you gave me only so much. Is it irrelevant? This is what I gave happily for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. So the person is always focused on the fact that I am doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether I get recognition, whether I get acknowledgement, that was never the objective, that was never the purpose. So the main thing is that Allah will be pleased with me. The second is that our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this will bring happiness to his heart. Imagine, respected elders and brothers, on the day of Qiyamah, if we get an opportunity to be in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Nabi of Allah says that, you know, there were two relatives of yours that were not on talking terms, or yourself and a certain aunt of yours were not on talking terms, or you and your brother were not on talking terms, and you apologized, you sent that message, and you mended the relation, this has made me extremely happy. This has brought happiness to my heart. Can you imagine how wonderful a feeling that will be? May Allah protect us. What about that person who divides the ummah? That person who fragments the ummah? We need to ask ourselves the question, how will we face Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That the Nabi of Allah will say, I left my ummah in one piece, and you were part and parcel of those individuals that fragmented an already divided ummah into more pieces. May Allah protect us. So let us become, within our families, and we are speaking on a micro level, that within our families, let us learn to build the relationships, let us learn to mend the relationships. Another, one of the benefits is that by us making an effort to maintain family relations within our own families, this will invite the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we might as well mentioning that one of the harms of destroying and severing and breaking family relationships is one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I came across, in which the Nabi of Allah has mentioned in one riwayah that لا تنزل الرحمة على قوم فيه قاطع رحم. May Allah protect us. That Allah's mercy does not descend on a nation in which there is an individual that severs family relations. Can we imagine? There could be one person sitting in this gathering that has the habit of breaking family ties, and it could be because of that one individual, may Allah not make it us, that is a means of depriving the entire community of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This in itself so shows how dangerous it is to destroy and to sever family ties and family relations. So the converse, that person who now makes an effort to mend the relations, to maintain the relations, he inevitably or she will be inviting the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then of course there is so much of, you know, psychological and emotional benefits in having a strong and a united family. You find that a family that is united, they have, that family has a strong support system. Whether it's financial support, whether it's emotional support, whether it's psychological support, the family is united. They're there for one another. You know, I had this problem. I don't know what to do. The person picks up the phone. He's able to phone his uncle. He's able to phone the grandfather. He's able to phone the cousin. But you can only do that if there's a relationship. So therefore, there is a strong psychological and emotional benefit. It reduces loneliness. It reduces anxiety. Then if we look at the social benefits of having a united family, as we had mentioned in the introduction, the family forms the foundation of a society. It forms the foundation of an entire society. It's built on that. This is what a society is built on. And if we have a strong family that is united, that is together, and of course there will always be, just as a disclaimer, there will always be differences. There will always be differences. But we have, if we have this in front of us, that though I have a difference, I need to maintain this relationship, we'll also learn to control our differences and not allow our differences to escalate out of control. But if the person doesn't bother, I don't care if this relation breaks, but I'm going to stand on my point, come what may. Then that too allows the person to go beyond any boundaries or restriction. But if the person has in front of him the bigger picture, that this is still my brother, this is still my sister, this will always be my uncle, and therefore I need to maintain this relationship. Look, this is an argument, and look, let's just agree to disagree. Let's agree to disagree. But no matter what, we are family, and we will maintain this relationship. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, some of the benefits that we have been discussing, and if we move on further, one beautiful benefit of having a united family is that you find that the elders within our family, they call it intergenerational wisdom. The elders in the family, you know, they've got wisdom. They've got experience. As in Arabic, they say, Salil Mujarrab wala tas'alil hakim. That you should ask those people who are experienced. Because experience teaches you a lot of things. We have elders within our family. And now if we allow the young ones to interact with them regularly, they will learn lots of things. Life lessons they will learn. And there's important aspects and qualities that the elders have. If those qualities want to be preserved within a family, then it needs to be passed on to the next generation. And how will it be passed on to the next generation if there's no interaction? Hence, the importance of creating this interaction between the family, have these gatherings within the family. Again, we spoke about some of the harms we've already discussed. One of the harms is that Allah Ta'ala's mercy is deprived from a nation in which there is just one individual who is breaking and severing family ties. In another hadith, which is quite frightening, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, La yadkhulu al-jannata qati'. That individual who breaks family ties will not enter Jannah. Of course, muhaddithin have explained, he will not enter Jannah in the initial stages. The person will have to go to Jahannam. May Allah protect us and cleanse himself. And he will go to Jannah via Jahannam. Allah protect us. But this in itself shows how dangerous it is to break and destroy family relationships. Now that we've understood the importance and the benefits of maintaining our discuss, some techniques that we can implement within our lives to maintain the family relationship. The important aspect is that we should try and have regular communication. And sometimes we have a relative in a family that's living abroad. Today, alhamdulillah, with the advancement of technology, how easy it has become. A person says, I'm very busy. But how about setting a schedule? You know, like we have a schedule, I've got a meeting at this time, on this day, at this time. So schedule, Tuesday or every Wednesday, I will call, you know, that uncle and that aunt, and have it in your schedule, whether it's every week or whether it's every once in 2 weeks. Have that habit of scheduling and reminding yourself to communicate with your family. Even if it's just say salam, how are you keeping? How's everyone? How's the small one? I heard about this, I heard about that. Maintain a communication between yourselves. Another thing which mashallah happens in some communities and some families is that we have little get-togethers. Of course, the get-togethers also, it is important and it's understood that it must be done within the parameters of Sharia. But it is important, we have these little get-togethers, family reunions, and now, mashallah, the holidays are coming. These holidays that are coming up, why not arrange a little family get-together? Just even if it's just sitting around a cup of tea, you know, it doesn't have to be very elaborate. Once, Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he invited us home, you know, all the musallis and a few brothers, and he put the dastarkhan on the floor, and Maulana took out juice and biscuits. Juice and biscuits. And then Maulana said that, look, this is an example that now we are also feeding you. That the juice and the biscuits, we are also feeding you. It doesn't mean that when we're feeding someone, you have to have, not that that is haram, but it doesn't mean that you have to have a 7-course meal. And sometimes now they have a 9-course meal. It doesn't mean you have to have so many courses. Even if the person just got together over a cup of tea or a glass of juice and biscuits, the objective is not the juice and the biscuits. The objective is that we're sitting around, interacting with one another, discussing informal things, common matters, but we are allowing the family to get together, to interact with one another. And then of course, another thing that we can do is little acts of kindness. In fact, as far as this acts of kindness, subhanAllah, Rasulullah has mentioned in the hadith that as-sadaqa ala al-miskin sadaqa, wa hiya ala dir-rahm thintan, sadaqa wa sila. That when a person gives out charity, they will get a reward for that charity. And of course, depending on the amount of sincerity, Allah will multiply the reward. But however, when a person gives charity or he spends on his family, he will be receiving two rewards. One reward for the charity itself, and the other reward for maintaining the family relations. So the person will actually get double reward. In fact, there is a riwayah wherein Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, she had freed one of her slaves. So the Nabi of Allah, when he became aware of this, he said that had you given the slave of yours to your one uncle, you would have received much greater reward for that. In other words, the Nabi of Allah, though the freeing of the slave was a great, Islam came to eventually abolish slavery, but yet the Nabi of Allah said that had you considered your uncle and had you given him that, you would have received a far greater reward than even freeing that slave. Clearly indicating that spending on our families, it holds great merit and reward in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, we should make an effort to try and spend on our families and to try and foster mutual love. Remember that giving of gifts, it fosters love between ourselves. As the Nabi of Allah said, tahadaw tahabu, that give gifts to one another. This will foster and create love amongst ourselves. And then, finally, respected elders and brothers, with regards to charity, also one beautiful point that comes to mind of our late Mu'inus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. You know, he used to say that, mashallah, a person wants to give to a worthy cause overseas. So sometimes the person wants to give 1 million rand overseas. Maulana used to say that instead of giving that entire 1 million overseas, look at those who are close around you, whether it is your relatives, whether within your own workplace, because of whom you were able to earn those millions. Give 500,000 overseas and take the other 500,000, give it to your workers, buy them. That particular worker of yours is working for 20, 30 years. He doesn't have a car. Why didn't you purchase him a car? Why didn't you give him some sort of gift? In fact, with regards to Mu'inus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that he had 13 maids and caretakers that had worked within his home. And mashallah, all 13 of them accepted Islam without any invitation. And what was it? It was Maulana Rahmatullah Ali's consideration. He would say that, you know, we come from the shopping places. In those days, we didn't have online shopping and all of that. Today, the motorbikes come home, you know. Anyway, so Maulana used to say that sometimes these caretakers, they actually, and the helpers are carrying those packets and bringing it in the house. And they're seeing everything. So he said, what will it cost you to take out from the biscuits that you bought, one biscuit, one, you know, packet of chirps or whatever luxury items that you bought, and make a little parcel for them also. Let them also feel that, you know, I also share in all the good times and the prospering moments of this particular family, and I am also part and parcel of this family. And it's because of those practices that without any da'wah, automatically people are attracted to the deen of Islam. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, this holiday is an ideal opportunity for us to try and look within our family. What we can do is we can use this bayan as an excuse that one cousin of ours, that particular family relative of ours, that there was an argument that took place and we stopped talking. We can just say that, you know, I went for the bayan, and I've decided that, you know what, I'd rather maintain this relationship, and therefore whatever happened, I'm asking for forgiveness. Yes, we do understand that sometimes it happens that a particular relative has got a high temper. But that too, it's teaching others how to deal with different emotions, because the world is very challenging out there. And therefore you're going to have somebody, it's not going to be that every single relative in the family is going to be very, very pious and righteous and having control over himself. But that's the reward. They say in Urdu, they say, jitne qurbani, itne meherbani. Proportionate to the challenge, the reward is accordingly. So now when it's a challenging situation, we're able to navigate it and still maintain the relation, subhanallah, we'll find that that family will become effective. Therefore, we appeal to the elders in the family. Set up, for example, little trust within the family so that that entire family can be supported. Learn to teach our children, within our children, that look, there may be sibling rivalry, but let us learn to deal with one another. Let us not be jealous of others. Let's celebrate the achievements of every single family member. As parents, learn to be fair with our children. Don't favor one child over the other, because this too will foster animosity and hatred within our families. Don't turn some families against the others. Sometimes you'll find the mother and father have a fight with a certain relative, and now they tell the children, you know, they make wasiyat also, that you don't ever talk to them. Mu'ayyanusab, on a lighter note, and we'll terminate on this, is to say that some people say that don't even attend my janazah. You don't even attend my... I say to people that make sure you attend his janazah, because definitely he's not going to lift his head up to see who attended and didn't attend. So may Allah Ta'ala protect us from some such activities. To summarize what we've said, respected elders and brothers, we've discussed the importance of maintaining our families, of uniting the family. And I'll end on an example that suddenly comes to mind. If you take your finger and your hand and keep the fingers apart and try and hit someone, you're going to hurt your finger. But take that same hand and bring the fingers close together and now hit the person and see how effective that punch becomes. In the same way, a family that is disjointed, a family that is disunited becomes a weak family. And that society then becomes weak. On the contrary, families that are united will build a strong society, will build a united community, will build an effective community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the hearts of brothers and sisters, unite the hearts of family members, unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Restore the dignity of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.